Now we take a look once again at the past week's events here in the Vatican. Our resident Vatican expert Joan Lewis sat down with me to review some of the highlights of the past 7 days. Welcome back, Joan, on this very hot summer day.
Well, you know, you almost don't know what to wear. You're in air conditioning, and it's very wonderful, and then you go outside, and you feel faint after walking just 100 feet. But, it's very, very hot, but, you know, I really can't complain. I mean, I've looked at the weather map in the United States, and there's cities, Wichita, and I can't even remember all of them right now, 112 degrees, which I think in the European degrees is like 40, 42, 40. 44. Yeah, well over 40. And then India, India, which I think is pretty warm all year round, and 600 million people
without electricity
and air conditioning and everything because of a power grid going down. But I have to tell you, in Rome, it's kind of like, okay, how hot is it? You know, and you always, everybody has their own story.
It's pretty unbearable, though.
It is, yeah. It's unbearable outside. But I was out on a whole bunch of errands about 4 or 5 days ago, and I went into Castroni's. And that's a chain here in Rome of international food stores, basically coffee bars and then international food stores. And I made my purchases and was about to leave, and the man handed me a fan with the word Castroni on it. So that's how hot it was that stores are giving out fans to their customers. But I have to say, along with the hot weather, it's summertime, and that's why it's hot. But the pace slows down so wonderfully. People are away on vacation beginning pretty much now.
That's right.
Sometimes the first week, usually the second week in July, certainly August. And they go away for weeks and weeks. They have summer homes. People go on obviously vacations, you know, in Italy and abroad. But just the lower number of people. So there's fewer buses on the street because bus drivers take a holiday. But there's more seats on the buses that are working. And restaurants close. I don't see too many coffee bars closing, but restaurants and stores, pharmacies. Today, I don't know how many pharmacies I passed on the coming here, and they were all closed.
There's slightly less traffic as well.
So a lot less traffic. It's just delightful. It really is. It's quiet.
Good time to be
it's
in Rome.
Calm. You don't want to go to the Vatican museums because then that's when you find the huge lines, any of the big tourist spots. But if you just live here, life is calm. It's quiet. You and I, we cover the Vatican and papal news. The Pope is away. Half of the Roman Curia is on vacation.
Absolutely.
And I have to say to our listeners, you know, if you don't really live here, you're not going to understand what we're talking about. I mean, like in America, for example, any American listening knows that things don't close down at any time. You know, they may close on July 4th or Christmas, but not for weeks or a month at a time. And that's just how it is here and in the Vatican. Fewer press conferences. Well, nothing in the summer.
Nothing.
Your embassy parties kind of end at the end of June or beginning of July. They don't pick up again until mid-September. So entertaining, unless it's you inviting friends to your home, entertaining is at a very slow pace. Everything's a slow pace. And I find out I just feel better. Too. I find myself relaxing more, slowing down with the general slowdown pace, and enjoying it.
That's why our website slows down as well.
People being away. Well, it's amazing how some things do kind of get done. It's like, you know, half of Italian television is away on vacation or Vatican
Radio.
The
other half is in London, isn't it?
Yes, exactly, for the games. Well, if we had a show just on sports, I'd be happy to contribute. But seeing as our focus is the Holy Father and the Vatican, and quiet. How quiet things are here. Two pieces of papal news in a week. And that reflects the slow pace. We had the Angelus, of course, last Sunday. And then the Pope did resume after a month's break. He resumed the general audiences, but they're taking place at Castel Gandolfo. And what I found very interesting is that the audience this week took place in the square, Piazza della Libertà, Freedom or Liberty Square, in front of the Papal Palace. So this is actually Castel Gandolfo's town square. And instead of the faithful going to the inner courtyard of the Papal Palace.
Is that because more people can
gather? Well, you know, I tried to figure out yesterday what the reason might be because I couldn't find an explanation. There's only two that I can think of. I believe there's a concert scheduled for the Holy Father. They may be setting it up for that. And
in the courtyard.
In the courtyard. Right. There was a recent one a couple of weeks ago. It was in the courtyard. And I think I also saw pictures of some kind of restoration work being done on the Apostolic Palace. So I'm just kind of guessing at this point it's one of those two reasons. There may be a third I don't know about, okay. But those are going to be my educated guesses. So, but the Angelus, of course, on Sunday, that the Pope had an awful lot to say. He always talks about the gospel of the day. And I won't concentrate on that today because he remarked about many other topics. He said he continued to follow with concern the tragic and increasing violence in Syria with its depressing sequence of deaths and injuries, and also among civilians, and huge numbers of internally displaced persons and refugees in neighboring states. And he said, I ask the necessary humanitarian assistance and aid be guaranteed. He told the Syrians, all Syrians, of his closeness in prayer. And he said, I renew my appeal for an end to violence and bloodshed. And he asked that God give wisdom to the hearts of those who are in positions of great responsibility.
And you then, know, the following day here at Vatican Radio, we spoke to the nuncio in Damascus, and he was very grateful for that appeal.
I did a piece, as a matter of fact, on I think it was Monday, on the one of the Catholic archbishops, one of the Catholic bishops in Syria who said the same thing. We're very grateful for the Holy Father's words, and he puts hope in our heart by saying it. And I want to say, I mean, if you see the images of what is happening, if you read about it, I know that FIDES and other agencies that have people and missionaries in these various countries, I don't even know if we're getting the full story on TV and stuff. Missionaries are there. There's countries where they're not allowing reporters. So,
yeah. Many reporters have been killed in this conflict.
They have. They have indeed. So, and then the Holy Father, in addition to Syria, he did say that his thoughts go to the dear nation of Iraq, which has recently suffered numerous serious attacks that have left many dead and injured. And then he spoke of a steelworks factory in Taranto, Italy, which is soon going to be forced to close, apparently because of the emission of toxic wastes. He knows that many, many families will, in this case, be without work. And so he
it's
said...
It's a very dramatic situation because the whole community depends on that factory.
Right.
And at the same time, the emissions are so poisonous that they're killing people. So they have to close the factory, but that's going to leave hundreds unemployed.
Oh, I know. So. You're darned if you do and darned if you don't in a situation like that. And so the Pope indicated, and again, that had to make those people, it doesn't improve their lifestyle or their problem, but gosh, you know, somebody is praying for you, and at the level of the Holy Father, that means a lot. And he said that he encouraged institutions to reach an equitable solution to this issue, which protects both the right to health and the right to work. So, and then, you know, in the midst of all this, like, negative news, Syria, Iraq, Taranto, and those problems, the Pope did end on a high note. He said a year from now, at this time, the 28th World Youth Day will be taking place in Rio de Janeiro. And he said it'll be a precious occasion for many young people to experience the joy and beauty of belonging to the church and living in the faith. So he's always got his eyes and ears open for international news, especially as the church might be involved in it, whether it's through prayer or through activities like Youth Day. So, you know, and we mentioned a minute ago I was just looking at my notes. We mentioned a minute ago, of course, the Olympics, and we said this isn't a sports program. But I have to say, actually, the UK has done amazing. The church.
It has. The Catholic Church in Wales. The UK has been very involved in preparation.
Huge. Yeah. Huge preparations and ecumenical missions mm-hmm. and opening churches to athletes and promoting a whole bunch of measures. And there was a mass the weekend of the opening, and Archbishop Vincent Nichols presided at a mass in Westminster Cathedral to celebrate the 30th Games, the 30th Olympic Games. And it's interesting, the concelebrants included five bishops, eight priests, including chaplains from Olympic teams from Italy, Austria, Germany, Poland, and the U.S. And he had a wonderful homily. I'd really like to just quote one of his sentences right now. He said, "The Olympic Games hold up high ideals of fairness in competition, of friendship between adversaries, of individual achievement and national pride. But in order to be effective, such ideals need to be put into practice." He said, "We hope this will be so despite the huge pressures of world attention, corporate investment, and political prestige that surround these games." And then he went on actually to mention some of the initiatives that you and I just kind of referred to. And he did quote John Paul and his love of sports and his legacy in this field. And, of course, Pope Benedict in 2010, during his visit to the UK, inaugurated, and I was there for it, inaugurated the John Paul II Foundation for Sports. So one way of linking the Olympics and the church, because wherever the Olympics are held, the local church does get involved in some way. There's tons of Catholic obviously. Athletes. And, you know, something we may not think of, for example, so many of the final matches in various sports occur on a Sunday. And when you've got Catholics involved in a sport, that they have to be wherever they have to be so many hours before the match, and that might make going to Mass difficult. Maybe they're flying in on a Saturday night. And I didn't really realize that until I went to the Olympics in Turin in 2006 and interviewed a lot of the Catholic players and how difficult life can be for people who obviously, you know, Sunday Mass is a must and they would even like to go on a daily basis if they could. But I discovered something fascinating. In 2006, in doing my research on the Olympic Games, there is part of the Olympic Charter, the Constitution, that demands that a certain percentage of the Olympic Village must be set apart for faith. So whether it can be Buddhist, it can be Christian, it can be, you know, Muslim, Jewish, whatever, but there is a certain amount of every Olympic Village that must be dedicated to faith.
I didn't know that, Joan.
I was stunned and delighted when I read that, to be honest with you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that interesting information, and I think...
Happy holidays. Have we run out of time?
I think we're running out of time.
Yes. I'll be reporting in a few weeks from Hawaii.
Super.
I'll be doing some stories on blessed soon-to-be Saint Mary Ann Cope.
And you'll be writing up your blog, I imagine.
I will be doing my blog and radio and photos. Okay. Do we ever sleep with journalists?
I'm back at Radio Vatican in September.
Yeah, at the end of August.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All righty. Bye-bye.